13 Questions by Man Transcending. Manhood in the Digital Age. All right, everybody. We're back with another episode with Dr. Zach Williams. This is a little shorter of an episode. We didn't do the bonus questions, but yeah, that's all right. We do have some other interesting show news to announce that we are going down to one feed as of the release of this episode. This will be the last one going out to both feeds. And then I believe in about a week or so after the release, we're going to get rid of one of them, I think the members feed currently, and go with the move everything over to the current, you know, the free feed that's not on Discord. I think that's how that works, right, Adam? You know more about this stuff than I do.
That's essentially, yeah, we're just basically, because we're looking at the downloads, and, you know, we're not trying to wall anything in. We're just trying to harbor, I don't know what you call it. We're trying to, we're just trying to get people more participatory. And that's just not happening on the members feed. And it kind of makes sense. It's complicated. It's an extra step. You've already got one feed. You're already listening to the majority of the podcast. It already seems complete. And it is. It, you know, it's built as a complete product, but it's really only half of, you know, the show. So, yeah, we're just opening it up to everybody. And that will just be on the one feed. I think we'll probably do something in that second feed to kind of notify people if they open up their pod player later on and find it. They'll have, you know, a little link to get them going for a short moment. In time, we will kill that feed off. Otherwise, it's just an extra expense on the show. But you'll have plenty of time to switch on over to the full feed and get everything exactly the same, but with another piece of episode art.
Yeah, so that's cool. Everybody gets, well, because we wanted, for, I know this episode doesn't have the bonus questions section, but I think it's super neat to open it up to everybody and just, you know, put the bonus questions out there for free without putting that extra step in there, because there's a lot of great content, I think, that have been, you know, discussed in that section of the show. And, you know, I just want everybody to be able to have access to it, you know, as much as possible. So yeah, that's super, super exciting. And then,
I'm super, I love seeing this thing grow and change and get better and, you know, us, you know, kind of slipstream into, you know, the things that work and the ways that work. And I don't know, this feels right. This feels like, it feels like something we should have done day one, and I'm kind of glad that we're there.
Yeah. Watching the show grow and evolve, super fun. And yeah, we want all you guys to be a part of it. So please join us, share the show. We need more to reach more people. So yeah, please share the show. And you can also support the show with our Shungite affiliate link. If you remember, if you heard the Derek Condit episode, which is the one right before this, it's his store, and we're affiliated with that now. If you click the link and buy something from him, we get 10% back. So that's just something that we wanted to offer you, because I use the Shungite. Adam uses the Shungite. We think it's great, so we wanted to share that. So that's another way for you to support the show. And then also stickers. We have stickers on the way. So just another way to support the show.
Sweet. I'm glad to hear that. I saw some of the designs. I didn't realize that they were now in the pipeline.
Yes, that's being added to the website very soon.
And, or look, if you just want to support the show and help out with what we're doing, you know, we're not quite covering all of our expenses at this point, which is fine. This is a labor of love, but make this thing better. You are part of the show. Obviously, we're not here without the listeners. This is a listener driven thing. If there was nobody here listening, if you guys weren't out there, if we didn't see the numbers in you here and you coming, we wouldn't continue doing this. But we do need your support because, like all good things, you know, there's time, energy, and money that goes into that. So support the show if you can. This is value for value. You know, that's all we ask. You know, whatever you find value in, send that our way. And feedback. Love feedback. Love to hear from you. Love to hear anybody that you would like to hear on the show. Suggestions, guests. So yeah, find us in the Discord.
Yeah, Discord. We are still there. I know that Grammarica recently moved off of Discord. They're on their own private Mattermost chat server, which is awesome. But yeah, you can find us on Discord. You can find us on Telegram. We have a Telegram account that isn't too active, but it's just another option for you to reach the show. And then, of course, we have the email, which is 13questionspodcast@gmail.com. And then we also have a Gab account that I'm kind of experimenting with and just posting memes on. And people are following the show, so it's working.
Yeah, if you have any questions or anything or want to reach out or just say hi, you know, just ping us in the app, you know, send us a message. You know, chances are if my phone is sitting next to me and alerting, I'll probably respond.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I guess that kind of ties into my gratitude for this episode. Jingle is here. We are just waiting for the right moment to debut it. So with that said, my gratitude is just these alternative options for media, for, communities like, Grammarica just did the Mattermost thing, which is neat. We still have, the Discord, and then Telegram is like a big thing that's been popping up. Recently, a lot of people have been moving off of, Twitter and Facebook. I deleted those two show accounts. So I don't know. I'm just grateful that there's other platforms to move to and that we're not 100% censored. So I don't know. That's just kind of what I've been thinking about. And I'm just glad that they're there and available still. And we're not, all forced to use YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. There's other options out there.
No, there's other options. There's other things coming. I'm getting really into podcasting 2.0 and some of the infrastructure going on behind the scenes there with micropayments going to podcasters. And one of the most interesting things about that is that they're using these lightning nodes with a Satoshi crypto coin. But the nodes themselves have a base built-in system of chat that is, baked in, and they're all intercommunicatable and talkable to each other. And I just found that to be just so stinking cool. And so, yeah, there are other ways and networks and things going on, and it's an exciting time. So, yeah, we don't need to rely on the big corporations to hold our message. Right here, we have an RSS feed. Right, I will make sure that we control that, and as long as that RSS feed is out there and available for you to snag and put into an application, a player, then you're still going to be able to get us and get in communication with us. But if you're relying on MailChimp or any other service, you could get deplatformed. You could say the wrong thing. We could have the wrong guest on. So I think we're in a good place for at least, you having access to the RSS feed and our show notes. In the future, obviously if we had the funds, it would be great to be able to do what the Grimerica boys are doing, where they are getting everything hosted on their own, completely separate, and doing all these things. So it would be virtually impossible to, pull them off of the internet. So, as we're now, it's just, a company can decide that you're just, you're not the right type for the brand.
Yeah. So that's why it's important to support the creators that you find value from.
Exactly. Yeah. If the mom and pop shop goes out of, you know, business that's down the street, but you never stopped and went to that mom and pop shop, well, guess what? You know, if you'd gone there, maybe they'd be open, because if everybody went there, they would be. That's how I like to spend my money. There's a few places that I always stop into. Like, there's a dollar store that's owned by this really wonderful little family. But probably every 3 or 4 months, I'll go in and spend like $10, you know, because, you know, there are things there that I can use and need. And a lot of the remote viewing, you know, stuff I get there that I've done for some of the projects I've had. But I like to think of that as my way of paying it forward. Like, if I enjoy this experience, I want it to persist. It's the selfish reason why I support Ryan and send him money for Arcade High. You know, I love his music so much that I am super selfish and I want to hear more. And the only way that that's going to happen is if he can become a musician full time. So it's like I have this secondary, you know, selfish, singular goal on. So I'm rambling. Bill, you're supposed to dig me out and save me.
Well, I was going to ask if the crypto thing was your gratitude, like setting.
Oh my God. No. My gratitude is people. You know, very synchronistically at work, we needed a good quality person.
Okay.
We're just getting way too busy and crazy. And that person, you know, or some, look, it was a very good day. I'm very happy with how things went. And it's just wonderful when people just mesh and work together well. And I don't know, there's something about just that interaction between people who have a similar goal. Yeah, you know, we're here to make money. We're here to sell stuff. You know, we're here to, you know, be able to put food on our plates and, you know, hopefully progress and get a little bit further in life. But, you know, there's more to it than that. You're on a team and you're completing something. When you just feel that mesh, and I don't know, it's nice to be around a group of motivated individuals. So I don't know what my gratitude is in that, but it's people, man. It's just being able to.
Yeah, it's the connection that of you know, the feeling of being a part of a group that all has the same intention, whether it's, you know, getting X, Y, or Z task completed for the day because that's your job, or if you're out in the forest looking for Bigfoot, you know, everybody's vibing on that same level.
Yeah.
So, yeah, acting with intention, that's something that Zach talks about a little bit at the end of the interview. So, yeah, I guess we'll just, I don't know, unless you got anything else, Adam, I guess we'll roll into the interview, into the show.
Yeah. Contact us, 13questionspodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up in the Discord, 13questionspodcast.com, if you would like to support the show. And obviously head to the website also for the affiliate link. And that's it, man. Let's go. Let's dive into the show, bro.
Awesome. Let's do it.
All right, you ready to jump in?
Yes, sir.
Sweet. Question number one. What was the best advice ever given to you, and would you modify it at all today?
So that's, I go to a lot of different medical seminars and things like that on both current science and health and communication. And the one thing that there was an easy answer when I saw this question, is people don't remember what you say, and people rarely remember what you do, but people always remember how you made them feel when you said or you did it. And so it's like, you know, people like to communicate heart to heart. And we're, from a medical standpoint, physiologically, we're just energy. So the difference between dead and living is energy. The difference between sick and healthy is function and energy. And so that's why we choose to be around people that make us feel a certain way, and we choose to not be around people that make us feel suboptimal. And so that's definitely, I try and use that both in the professional setting, more often in the, more so in the social setting. I mean, when you start to communicate to people heart to heart rather than head to head, that's kind of how things really operate pretty well in my experience.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. You know, doctor-patient relationship, it, you know, there's a trust. I know there's been studies done that, you know, the procedure you're getting done, what's most important is the one that you believe is going to work. So there's this huge relationship between your doctor that facilitates so many other things in the healing process aside from the actual medicine that's being dished out. So yeah, it's a beautiful thing that you embrace and see that so many professionals, healthcare professionals just don't.
Yeah. It's, I like to, you know, not to, I like to build rapport, you know, that's the most important thing. And, yeah, that's one of the things that I've really noticed. And I see it when I encounter, you know, friends, physicians, anyone really, you know, like good energy is what you want to be around, who you want to vibe with, and bad energy, you simply don't.
Yeah. And I love that thinking on that level of how, just keeping in mind how you're making other people feel when you're communicating to them. Cause I find that interesting because there's a theory of like what happens after you die, right? It's you, get to experience your life, but from the perspective of how you made others feel based off of like your, you know, your interactions with them. So the fact that you brought that up in question one, I think is pretty cool.
Very much so. What was the most important lesson you learned from your parents?
So for that one, actions speak louder than words. You know, we say we would do anything for the ones we love, but the daily, you know, bearing the cross and actually doing that, you know, from being tight on money, right? That's the easy one. But one thing that, they always did was they always defended us. So like when my older brother and I were young, my dad sat us down and he goes, "All right, guys, you know, at school, if you ever see someone picking on your brother or one of your friends or even someone you don't know, then you need to insert yourself into that situation and end it in a way that the bully doesn't want to bully anyone ever again. And if you get in trouble, I'll come down to school and I'll get in trouble with you."
Nice.
And believe it or not, that happened pretty often. So not only did they say it and empower us, but they lived it. You know what I mean?
No, that's beautiful. I love that. Too many parents are anti-conflict instead of realizing that, you know, if you're that way, then yeah, the world becomes just filled with bullies.
That's right, man. Especially today, you know, there's a lot of moving parts and, you know, now's the time to stand up for what you believe in, whatever that is. You know, it's this is a very testing time. And I feel like I'm able to do that more naturally and confidently because of how I was instilled and raised as a kid.
Nice.
Yeah. And it just seems so much easier to be bullied now that, you know, social media and everything. So
100%, man. Yeah. It's that's crazy. The cyberbullying. I mean, whoever saw that coming, right? You know, and based on the research, high school kids today are more stressed than psychiatric patients back in the 70s.
Wow.
It's nuts, man. There's so much pressure in the cyber stuff, social media, you know, who liked what picture, who's following who, you know, how many likes did I get? It's just like it messes with your coconut, man. It really does. And especially these kids that appearance, they want to appear to be a certain way, especially on social media. It's always the, you know, the golden nuggets of what they want people to see, perceive them as. And yeah, especially with the cyber stuff, it's crazy.
That's insane. Yeah. Do you see any of that bleeding through into your practice? you know, like, you know, increased stress levels and, you know, associated.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. And I treat, you know, people of all ages, and definitely young girls, especially in body image and things like that. Kids are mean, man. Not to, you know, vilify anybody, but I mean, I guess they're not any more mean than they were when we were kids, but it's just like,
well, when you were
your brain developing.
Yeah. What, like when you were a kid, you could see the bullies, you know? So if your children are connected to social media, they're getting the bullying, but there's no one to defend against. It's just a name. It's information flowing in. It's, do you accept it or do you not? So if you don't even know if they're being bombarded with it, how do you defend the enemy?
Right. You can't. You're defenseless, which is like, I have a 7-week-old daughter, and that's like already like my biggest nightmare. It's like, you know, defending is 100% of the game, and to feel like you can't, or certain situations where you can't, that's horrifying. So it stresses kids out, it stresses parents out. Social media, on Netflix, there's some type of series that came out about social media, or an episode.
Social Dilemma. The Social Dilemma.
Yeah, I want to check that out. I haven't been able to see it yet. But this stuff affects our brains, man. And it's instant gratification. So just like video games or being on your phone, that type of thing, it stimulates a part of your brain that heroin does and sugar, you know, it's instant gratification. And so it's very addicting stuff. And when you get people on there that kind of know what they're doing and how it affects people to get more data usage, more, you know, that's a hairy situation.
And it's even in the names of the apps now. I mean, think of Instagram, like a gram of what? They're, you know, the first hit's always free until you're
right. Up. Right. Instant.
Never even thought of that. Bouncing back to the neurolinguistics there, Bill.
Yeah.
Can't get away from it.
But yeah, on the flip side of that, I think that, the internet makes it easier to bully, but I think that it can also be used for good. And I think one of the things I've talked about before on this show is the duality of internet. 13 is a number of duality. So my hope is, like, with this, you know, things, projects like this show, is that we can interject some positivity into situations like that if, you know, the youth decides to listen to.
For sure. Yeah, man. Definitely. Like,
well, it doesn't make it easier to bully, but it also makes it easier to stop, right? Kids aren't going out into the playground, so if you unplug the social media, you know, okay, you're free from that anchor.
Right. It's heavy. It's a heavy one, too. It's unlike anything that we experience as kids, really. You know, it's a new beast.
Truly. What book has been most influential on your life and why?
So that was definitely the Bible. I'm not a very religious person, but I'm a man of, you know, spirituality and faith, and I try and start most days. I got the Bible app on my phone and take a look at the verse of the day. And a lot of these millionaire mindset books that I read and these seminars that I go to of these successful people, they all have different habits that they do every day. And one of them is meditating. So doesn't mean you have to, you know, be speaking to God or Allah or the Bible or Quran or whatever, nothing, energy, you know, as long as you're spending time with, you know, becoming in tune with yourself, as hippie and cliche as that may sound, it's what all the millionaires do. They take the first thing they do when they wake up. What do you guys do? The first thing when you wake up, what do you guys do?
I sit on the couch, turn on the TV, grab something to drink, smoke, spend the next 2 hours waking up.
Yeah, for me, it's the exact opposite.
How's yours, Bill?
Yeah, I'm pretty much basic. I'm on the computer all day, every day. And then after work, my hobby is podcasting. So there you go.
Right on. Like, for me, my first thing I want to do when I wake up, boom, check my phone. So, you know, who texted me, what happened on Facebook, emails. The first thing we want to do is get plugged into something that's not even in the room. And so per these, you know, millionaire mindset books and success books, taking even just 5 minutes, they suggest just getting right with yourself. You know, a good example is Muhammad Ali. They asked him, like, you know, how are you so successful? You know, why do you win all the time? And he said he visualizes him winning before he even walks into the ring. So, you know, if you got a big meeting or you got confrontation with a coworker, or you got to see someone that, you know, come across a certain dealing, a business. If you visualize you being successful in that moment before you get there, you'll be surprised how successful you become. And not like I'm some success, you know, guru, but that's just from what I read and what I see. And when you start to apply it,
well, it makes sense, right? In your life, you know, you have like Olympic athletes that are doing training while they're, you know, visualization training while they're dreaming and in dream states, they're going over this. So if you're improving your physical skill, why couldn't you improve other things? Like, it might not just be as a pattern, you know, building as we think. There might be something more to improving the process.
100%, man. Yeah, it's, you visualize it and things just tend to click and go smoother. And exactly, that's perfect. Olympic athletes, you know, they spend all this time training for like 40 seconds, right? And then the next 4 years, they're training and they're seeing and they're visualizing and they're dreaming. That's good. Yeah, it's, we see it, you see it, and then you do it. And so that's funny, because that's, I think that's the next question.
What daily habits or rituals do you have?
Yeah. So I covered one and a half there. I mentioned the verse of the day and just being, just kind of getting my mind right, you know, with prayer or whatever. But I mentioned that my daughter Layla is 7 weeks old. And so I've started a new habit. And I live about 10 minutes from the clinic. So every day I come home for lunch. Nice. And I come home after work. So I get to see her, you know. But every shift I have my wife send me a picture or two and a video. So that's the newest habit that I've added to my regimen.
That's a good habit.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be checking your phone for what, you know, Twitter notifications. No, it's for family.
Exactly, man. Yeah. Another thing that, you know, I was taught to do as a kid is something that my dad always said to us. He always told us that he loved us and he always told us he was proud of us. And you never know if people are hearing that. You know, I was lucky to have a good relationship with my dad. A lot of people can't say that. And so you don't know what demons people are dealing with. And so a habit I try and do every day is just kind of positively affirm people, you know, every chance I get, if it's a friend or a family, if they do something I'm proud of them for, I'll tell them that, because you don't know if or where they're hearing that from. So every day I try and tell my wife and my son Dylan and my daughter Layla that I love them, and I try and give them a hug every day. So those are a couple of things that I try and make a daily habit of.
A positive reinforcement is huge. And I think that's probably not something people hear a lot of in their day-to-day life.
How can you? It's if it bleeds, it leads. So you're kind of built into the opposite.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like I mentioned, we're all dealing with demons, right? Everyone is. There's no one that's not. And so, you know, you can either feed the positive vibes, like I mentioned, or you can feed the negative ones. And the more we just, you know, good things happen when you start just building people up around you, because confidence is contagious and so is the lack of it. And the more, I mean, we're made to go through life with friends, with a group of people, not by ourselves. We're supposed to build each other up, and people either do or they don't, you know?
Well said. If I were to ask your best friend, what is the one thing they would say you need to work on the most and why?
It's funny. I keep walking into the next question with the previous.
That's a bad thing.
It's great. It's great show structure. Thank you.
Please keep leading the witness.
I was built for this. No, I'm just kidding. Definitely patience. Being short fused, patience is just something that I've always needed to deal with, from getting through math homework to standing in line to, you know, dealing with people in the grocery line at the store. That's something that I've definitely my weakness, and it's something that, like I mentioned, people are dealing with demons, and so I don't know what kind of day someone's having. You know, I can be a little bit more patient. That's definitely my flaw.
Yeah, I think everybody can probably attest to that one, especially in this, you know, super hectic, fast-paced world.
Right. Here and now, instant, right? Fast food, Instagram. We're all pretty in our own worlds and on the go. That's right.
Yeah, patience is a virtue. It's not one of the four cardinal ones, but it's like one of the, you know, pretty close second, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and I think about, like, people that have poured into my life, you know, from friends of the family to, you know, relatives or friends. And the ones that I've really connected with are the ones that accept me for where I'm at and don't expect me to be a certain speed or a certain way. You know, they show me a lot of patience, and I'm like, wow, I see how that makes me feel. And so that's something that we could all really benefit from.
Oh, it's beautiful, right? We all want to grow and become better human beings. So where are you on that scale, and where can you go? You know, it's limitless, right? Where you can go, and you could be anywhere on the scale. So, you know, to see the good in a person and help them bring out the best in them and have them do the same in you, it's so crappy when, you know, it's the thing about social media that sucks is there's so many teams and there's so many labels and everybody has to pick one, that the nuance of who a human being is, you know, it used to be, oh, that's Joe, he's crazy. You know, oh, he believes in this. Oh, you know, well, Joe does this, he's kind of weird. You know, maybe keep your girlfriend away from whatever weird, you know, thing. It's just like, well, we would accept those things because you knew them as a human being and you saw that flaw. And it's, I don't know, I guess I'm older now, so I'm still from the pre-internet, had to go to the library age. So I'm hoping that this new generation, as they age, maybe we'll see the perspective that I see. I'm hoping it's not tied to my old worldview. I hope it's just tied to an age perspective view of the world.
Right.
If not, we're
I can dip. Agreed. Agreed on both counts.
And that is actually, it's not really a bad thing to want to work on being, you know, if you're dealing with the public every day, which you are, then every interaction is like, you know, a chance to work on that. And dude, I know it's tough because I was a teller for 8 years, and, you know, dealing with the public plus their finances, it can be challenging. So
yeah,
patience heard.
Definitely, man. It's, and especially with what I do, you know, it's not like going to, you know, your medical physician once a year, twice a year, you know, it's like people are seeing me regularly and they're coming in to get better and for a good experience. And so, I've definitely gotten better at that. And each day I try and get better at that, both in the clinic and outside.
Yeah. Well, I always appreciate a doctor that has that good bedside manner, that understands it, because it's like anything, you have such an opportunity to hone that skill because you're in front of the public in high stress situations, people in pain, different varying emotional states. And that's the hardest, you know, you're dealing with emotional waves. You got to know how to surf, man. So yeah, it's beautiful because when you get to embrace that, that means that, you know, we've all been there when something terrible is going on, amount of pain, you're not acting yourself. You're an asshole. When you have somebody there who can understand and mitigate, it's such a beautiful experience because it turns into a positive experience and you can help that person. I know you know what I'm saying. So I'm very grateful to know a doctor that embraces that.
Yeah. Like a personal rule of thumb is like, I typically first three visits I deal with someone, it's just like, that's just a buffer. That's just like, people come in with pain. When I'm in pain, I'm not very nice either, you know, and it seems, it's really funny because sometimes the patients that are the most abrasive, their first two visits become like the nicest, you know, easygoing patients. So it's like, you know, again, accept people where they're at. Pain hurts, pain sucks. You don't know what they're dealing with or how long they've been dealing with it. I have patients that have migraines, 10 out of 10 severity migraines for decades, years, every day. You know, if I, you know, if I have a headache, I'm kind of like grumpy too, you know, and that's just one. I don't get them often. So it's like, you got to accept people where they're at and see who they can be. But, you know, patience, my friends.
Well said. That might be one of my favorite answers we've ever had.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Now, I suffer from migraines, so I've seen a plethora of doctors and neurologists, and so, yeah, I'm very sympathetic to how a doctor can treat you when you're in a distressed state where you won't be nice to people. So
you mentioned where you live. I'm going to get you referred to someone out there. Get you cracked out by a chiropractor, man.
Sweet. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen somebody. I had a friend who used to live down here who I would see when I would be having some problems. So that's good to hear. I've been looking for, it's hard to find a good chiropractor. It's, you know, if you don't know somebody, it's kind of, so yeah, thank you.
Gladly.
Zach, what are you most curious about?
So the future, I would say. The past, we already knew what happened, in the present is kind of happening, but I'm really looking forward to see how my kids are as they get older and as they grow up. And I met my stepson Dylan when he was 6 and he's 11 now. Just getting to see him grow, it's probably the coolest thing. And so, like with my daughter, she's starting to smile and actually acknowledge that we're around, which is pretty cool, because it's all good taking care of a potato,
yeah,
that needs you all the time. And when that potato actually realizes you're there and smiles at you, it's like, wow, like I dig this. So I look forward to, I'm most curious about seeing her, and we're going to have a few of them. So just seeing, you know, how they grow up and who they become and who they end up with and their kids. I'm really excited about the future.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Love to hear somebody who's looking forward to the aging process and not stuck on their past youth.
Yeah. Yep.
What was the most embarrassing or humbling experience of your life?
Man, this is you guys dig deep with this one. This one. So I've played basketball my entire life. And even though I'm 5'7", pretty somewhat successful in that arena. But my senior year, I did not get like any playing time at all. And so we actually, that year we had one of our coaches was a former Army drill sergeant. And so for the first month of the season, before we even walked into the gym, it was 3 days a week of conditioning. And so every single day, except for the last day, I don't know why not the last day, but every single day I vomited, I puked, because we were out there hustling. And I was like, it's okay, it's gonna be worth it, it's gonna pay off. And I did not play at all, like go in the last minute or two each game. And that, you know, was a pretty devastating thing. And it really tested me, because obviously when you know that everything you put into it's not going to pay off, you might want to quit. And I'm so glad that I didn't, because a lot of growing moments and a lot of good relationships built with my teammates in all of that chaos, you know, the traveling and all the stuff that goes along with it. So it was one of the worst, best experiences, I would say, of my life.
Yeah, I love that. No matter what, even if it's a bad experience, you know, you can always use it as armor. You know, you can always strengthen your hide, build yourself up so that, you know, okay, well, that hurt, but next time I'm going to see it coming and I'm going to deflect it.
That's right, man. Grow through what you go through, right? So if you're as I'm going into the next question, it appears what my greatest fear would be is failing. And you know, if the only time that failure becomes a problem is when you stop going. You know, if you fail, that means that you're just learning how to do it, how to win better if you just stick with stuff.
Yeah, people that don't make mistakes don't make anything. I think that was a quote that I saw or heard somewhere recently. But I think that, you know, if you don't fail and get up and try again, then, I mean, like, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, Michael Jordan was a big advocate about all that, you know, all the shots that he took and they lost, and the shots that he took and they won, you know. It's a heavy burden, but yeah, man, you fall down 8 times, you get up 9. And that was definitely my biggest fear and my biggest and humbling, embarrassing experience all rolled into one great learning experience.
Amazing. And it's probably hard now to beat that embarrassment. You know, you've got that feeling, you've dealt with it. So anything else comes along,
That's right, man. It's all perspective, and it's, you know, and as we get older, we realize what really matters and what doesn't, you know, and you let the little things, you just brush them off, and you just, you know, keep your head down and keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, what you know you should be doing. And yeah, if you're not failing regularly, then you're really not pushing yourself to your optimal potential.
Beautiful. Yeah. Not everything's going to work. So, you know, just because you failed doesn't mean that you are a failure. It just means you got to find a different path, a different way, different angle. You know, it's like anything else. It's training. You know, you're not going to lift that huge weight the first time, but you do it enough. You figure out the right technique. You start doing more repetitions. You get better at this. Next thing you know, you got it. Now you can move on to the next task.
100%. Exactly.
What is your great... Oh, we just rolled into that one, didn't we? Your greatest fear. What quality do you most admire in a man, and why?
Guys that do what they say they'll do. And guys that don't do what they say they won't. You know, guys that make things happen. So when we were young, keep referring back to my dad, and he told us that there's 3 different types of people in life. People that make things happen, people that watch things happen, and people that ask what happened. And so, you know, you can be one of those 3. And in the work setting, you know, as an employee, there are employees that are told to do something and they don't. There are employees that are told to do something and they do. And there's employees that do things without being told. So knowing those 3 categories, you would just assume that the 3rd category, that person would be more successful. And so I have a lot of good guys in my life, some entrepreneurs, and just guys that are loyal to their word, loyal to their family, people that get things done.
I like
that. Yeah, that's guys that will do what they say they will do and don't do what they say they won't do. So pretty much keeping your word, I think, embodies that. And just integrity, I guess, in general would be a nice way to summarize that. Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely. Yep. Yeah, a lot of things in life come and go, and honestly, a man is only as good as his word, in my opinion.
Or his handshake.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's right.
Old school.
That's right.
Who were and or are your role models, and why?
Michael Jordan, the best basketball player of all time. I grew up a 90s kid. And I remember I would watch his like highlight reels, mm-hmm. and then I would go outside and practice those moves. And I just glorified that, man. I still basically do. I collected his shoes. I play slow pitch softball. I'm always number 23. He's definitely the peak of the mountain to me. So he was like Superman, you know, he could fly, right? And my other role model is definitely my dad, because he was like real life Superman. He couldn't jump at all. So two different types of Superman. He was a short, pudgy, white guy like me too. So we had no business playing basketball anyway, but stay far enough away from the hoop and shoot the three, you do all right.
Oh, absolutely. Loved. Yeah. You've seen the new documentary on Netflix, I assume, on Jordan. I think it's called The Last Dance. It's about the Bulls run. That was, I loved it. It gave you a new perspective on he's a winner.
Yep.
Repetition, practice, has a goal, is going to achieve it, and you're going to either be in his way or be with him.
Right.
There's consequences to that, but man, it inspiring. Inspiring. Going from some kid who can't play basketball to be the best. Why? Because you wanted it. And you tried harder and worked harder than anybody else. And you asked everybody to do the same. That's beautiful.
That's right, man.
It's a thought. It's, you know, it's like he had his, he lined his virtues up and his goals how he wanted to, and he structured his life and he achieved it.
And that's like, that's the, I mean, break that down. That's like key to success 101, all that right there. And like you said, man, you're with him, against him, or you're in his way. And, you know, not all of his teammates liked him all the time.
No, but you know what?
When they started, winning.
You knew where he stood.
Right.
He wants to win. He's going to win. That's it. That's Michael Jordan.
Yep.
That is as honest of a human being as you can get.
Yeah, that documentary series was so awesome.
Space Jam was pretty cool too.
when we got married, we walked
documentary?
Out. The our wedding party walked out to Space Jam.
Oh, nice!
Probably my favorite movie.
Awesome.
What institution of society or structural aspect of modern life would you change given the chance?
Most definitely, hands down, this child trafficking that takes place, it's always taken place, and not even on the global, you know, the global stage, but like I have, you know, patients that I hear stories. I have friends that I hear stories. I see in the news, you know, dads, brothers, cousins, young kids, man, that's to me, to betray a child is the one unforgivable sin. And it just happens so much, man. And it happens to more people than you would think, more people that you know, that you have no idea. I promise you it's happened at least once or more than once in their life. And to me, that is absolutely the biggest problem in society, hands down.
Yeah, that's a huge one. Yeah, that one bothers me the most because it's so systemic. You know, it seems like it's in the biggest institutions and religions and governments, and then it gets swept under and you go, like, it's a side of reality that good people refuse to see, and it's exploited because they couldn't do it. How could somebody else do it? And it lives in that darkness.
Yeah. I couldn't put it better myself, man. That's exactly right. And like you said, in a lot of different institutions from the top to the bottom. And, you know, now with me having, you know, a 7-week-old daughter, it's just like, that is unforgivable, unallowable. Never had a gun in my life. We have 3 in the house now. So, there's certain reasons to stand up, and there's certain reasons to defend, and there's certain reasons to go to war, and there's certain reasons to go to prison. And I believe this is one of those reasons.
Defending a being who is unable to defend themselves. Yeah. Right. any word that's written down to enforce a law against you for that, it's just letters. That's it. Yeah.
Those words you just said are like the, that's my question 13. It's like my first two sentences. So we'll get to that, but this is that's 100% right, man. Defend the defenseless. Because if you don't, I mean, there's guilt in that too.
Oh yeah, it's an anchor. It's a burden. Yeah. No, there's moments in my life, I'm sure everybody has it, where I flash back to what I didn't do. So selfishly, when I think of things in the future and they come about, I'm thinking about doing the right thing, but I'm also thinking about like, no, I need to do this for so many reasons, for my own mental health. And because in the moment I go, should I do this? Well, hell yeah. Yeah. You're going to feel like shit for the rest of your life if you don't, A, and B, you're contemplating it. So just do it. So yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's an answer to this question that I haven't heard since I've been a part of the project. But I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And it is such a dark, dark subject that it is really hard to talk about and bring in to the light, because like you were saying, Adam, like good people don't want to know this stuff. And I think that, you know, there's a Buddhist quote, I want to say it's a Buddhist saying, that three things always come out, and that's the sun, the moon, and the truth. And I think that, you know, the truth is just around the corner from where we're standing right now in regards to the future. And so hopefully that's an issue that'll be addressed sooner rather than later.
Hear, hear to that one. Wouldn't that be great? What is the most courageous thing you have ever done in your life or you have ever seen?
So I'm a big homebody. I don't like to, I lived in Indianapolis for a year. I was homesick all the time. I love South Bend. I love being here. I love being around my friends and my family. And definitely the most courageous thing I ever did was moving 12 hours away to Atlanta and betting on myself and going to chiropractic school. So how chiropractic school works is it's super easy to get in. Anyone can get in. But the catch is it's a 50% failout rate. And the opposite applies to medical school. Medical school, it's impossible to get in. But once you're in, unless you choose a different profession, you're not failing out. And so I remember at orientation, they said, all right, everyone look to your right and look to your left. And at some point, one of those people will not be here anymore. So hopefully you're not that person. And I was just like, well, damn, you know. And it's pretty funny, actually, because so I graduated December of 2016. And today I ordered my graduation ring because I just haven't done it yet. And I'm like, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to. So 5 years later, I finally got that bad boy coming in 8 to 10 weeks.
Nice.
Is it shipping from overseas? 8 to 10 weeks?
I hope not. I didn't check the fine print, but I certainly hope not.
Now, what got you into deciding to be a chiropractor?
So when I was 13, it was Memorial Day weekend, and we were at Lake Wawasee. My family and another close group of friends to the family, and we were on the sandbar, and my dad's buddy Bill threw the football, and so I dove off the boat to catch it, and so I came down on my head, and I felt a snap, and I couldn't move. So I'm underwater. I can't move. My brother's next to me, so he picks me up. And when he picks me up, kind of like, you know, horizontally parallel to the ground, he picks me up and I grab some air, but he thinks I'm just joking around. So he lets me go and I go back down. Can't move. And so my dad realizes I'm not coming back up. So he jumps out of the boat and he's holding me up, you know, above the water, probably for about 45 minutes to an hour. I'm not moving anything. I'm not moving my hands, my feet. I'm bugging out. He's bugging out. And then slowly I start to move my fingers and my toes again. And so that was Memorial Day. So the following Tuesday, I went to see a chiropractor, and I was hooked from that adjustment, from just how I felt walking in to how I felt walking out. I'd been adjusted as a kid before that, but that's when it clicked in my head. And I actually interned with that guy, Don Warren, before I went to chiropractic school. When I graduated, I started off with him, and now he and I are still really good friends. So that was kind of my segue into chiropractic.
Awesome. You know, I hear that from a lot of chiropractors, or at least the few that I know, is that it's personal experience that brings a lot of people into it. It's not like medical school where you're drawn into a career. It's you're drawn into a belief, or maybe not a belief, but a belief in the outcome.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I went to Life University down in Atlanta, and it's the biggest chiropractic school. So we had a lot of international students. And I mean, I had friends from all over the place, and friends that like played D1 football, were going to get drafted, got injured, NFL's gone, saw a chiropractor, became chiropractors. Like, it's just so many different realms of the world, you know? And yeah, you're right, man. More of the belief in the outcome as compared to just a career your mom or dad was. It's kind of like chiropractic chose me, that's for sure.
Oh, it's a beautiful way to put it. Yeah, my friend Sean's a chiropractor, and he had a number of health problems as a kid, and saw doctor after doctor after doctor, and chiropractor was a last ditch effort, because it wasn't just what you would consider like, you know, bone adjustment issues. And he went to see it, and it was the only thing that got him well enough that he could go back into school and become a normal functioning human being after not being able to do that for majority of his, his grade school life. So it was beautiful. And I'm like, you know, I don't understand this system, but everybody that's involved, you know, seems to have been touched by it. So that's what got me to getting adjusted by him. And I was a believer ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, we see a lot of, you know, a lot of times, not a lot of times, a decent amount of time where last case scenario where people have tried everything. And it's really cool. You know, I don't heal anyone. Our bodies heal. You know, I've never ever created scar tissue, or I've never helped, you know, a Band-Aid doesn't fix a cut. You know, I'm not the healer. I'm kind of the middleman, just letting your body do its thing. And a lot of really cool things happen. People that can't get pregnant, headaches go away, you know, depression, anxiety, seizures, patients with Down syndrome and autism have better functioning lives, less symptomatology, all types of really cool stuff happens.
You know, the one thing I love about chiropractic that so many other aspects of the medical community don't do, it's a whole system. And I just that alone is such an important aspect of it, that, you know, when you're willing to consider that you do this here and you can affect that. And yeah, it's I don't know, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Bodies are pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I like the way you put it, that you're the facilitator of the help. You know, I'm not the boat getting you down the river. I'm just the guy taking your quarter.
Exactly, man. That's perfect. I got a buddy that he's a Marine, so he was over in Afghanistan, and he came home, and he and his wife were trying to get pregnant for a decent amount of time. Don't quote me on it, but it was more than a few months. It was, you know, more than a year, I would say. And I adjusted him and his wife, and then they were pregnant within a couple months.
That's so crazy.
And yeah, and then so he has three kids, and he and I go shooting.
Oh, so you got his wife pregnant, huh? Oof.
Yeah, exactly. So he and I go shooting, And the last time we went shooting, we went back to his place to drink a few beers and play some pool. And I adjusted he and his wife. And about 4 weeks later, I get a call from Matt. And he's like, dude, I'm going to kick your ass. What happened? I'm like, what happened? He goes, dude, you did it again. She's pregnant. I was like, well, I'm sorry. You're welcome. And if it's a boy, you should name him Zach.
That's awesome, dude.
Our bodies are pretty cool. If you just get out of the way, you know, stop throwing symptom stoppers and just let the body operate like it's supposed to. Our body's smarter than any doctor of any type of, you know, specialty. So it's cool to see the body do really cool things like that.
I love it.
And I think it's just awesome that chiropractic is, like you were saying, a holistic, Adam, a holistic approach, because until I went to your clinic, Zach, I'd never heard a doctor talk about nutrition until I walked in that door. And, you know, I've been going to a general practitioner since, you know, being able to go to a pediatrician or whatever. And you know, so from a very young age up until, you know, my early adulthood, nobody's ever talked to me about diet. And I just think that it's, I know it's something that drew me to keep going back to chiropractic, is because it, you know, it's so holistic.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Food can be medicine if you eat the right stuff, and it can do the opposite if you don't, you know. And we look at like diabetes and childhood diabetes, and this is the first time ever in American history that kids are not projected to outlive their parents because of obesity and, you know, morbidity and stuff like that. And, man, you just put gas in the tank and let the car go, you know?
Put the right gas in. Exactly.
Exactly. That's right.
And you don't want any sticks and water and sand mixed in there. You don't want to buy the no name gas station on the corner selling for like $2 less than everyone else.
Well, when you break it down like that, you know, and compare it to processed food or, you know, things like that, it kind of, not to say you don't ever eat that, you know, time and a place, but if you consistently, you know, put in the right stuff over time, and things just get better.
Good analogy. Zach, the last question. What does it mean to be a man in today's world?
So like you mentioned, there's four core things that my dad taught my brother and I, and that's you defend the defenseless, you home the homeless, and you look out for widows and orphans. Mm-hmm. So like we talked about how he set my brother and I down and had the, if you need to whoop some ass conversation. And when I was in second grade, I met my now brother, Raphael. His mom was dying of liver cancer. And so she died when we were nine. And he was living in the rough part of South Bend. His dad was in prison, living with family members. And he wanted to move in with us. And so he had the conversation with me like, hey, you know, could you think we could ask the parents and see if we could do that? And I was like, of course. And so typically when you ask dad a question, it's always, you know, ask your mom, right? Like that's the go-to answer. And this is distinctively the first time that my dad didn't need to ask my mom. He was just like, no hesitation, like, of course. And so Raph moved in with us. He's lived with us ever since. Now that we're, you know, 30, you know, we all have our own places, but he's always, you know, all holidays, and he's always been with us. And that was something my dad and my mom, you know, they taught us, you know, you give home to the homeless, and when you look out for widows and orphans, you look out for the people that aren't being looked out for.
That's beautiful. If everybody did that, then we'd all be taken care of.
Things might be a little bit better if everyone, and you don't got to be, you know, Gandhi, but if everyone just did their part a little bit more conscientiously, if we're just intentional. Being intentional not only makes you more successful, but being intentional can really affect and change people's lives too.
the one no ho word no. How you want no ho word no, yo what? How you want no ho word no. How you want no ho word no, yo what? How you want no ho word no. How you want no ho word no, yo what? How you want no ho word no. How you want no ho word no, yo what? How you want no ho word no. How you want no ho word no, yo what? How you want no ho word no. How you want no ho word no, yo what?
Why is one man rich and another man poor? Why we ain't satisfied? Why we gotta have more? Why your suicide rates on the rest so high? Why I tell you the truth but you say don't lie? Why is being a good father at an all-time low? Why is it acceptable? Yo, why? I don't know. Why she blame him and he blame her? It's useless. Ask yourself this question. Why you making excuses? Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians and use labels? Now that's racism.
How you want no ho word no?
Why?
How you want no ho word no? Yo what? How you want no ho word no?
Why?
How you want no ho word no? Yo what? How you want no ho word no?
Why?
How you want no ho word no? Yo what? How you want no ho word no?
Why?
How you want no ho word no? Yo what?
Why is there innocent people locked up for life while some people can't say nothing nice? Why do we always gotta question what all of it means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Tell me why. The night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why. And why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why. And why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these fat beats? And teachers don't make more than professional athletes. And why?
How you want the whole world to know what? How you want the whole world to know? How you want the whole world to know what?
This should be considered entertainment and not therapy. We hope you benefit from our resources available at 13questionspodcast.com. Thank you for listening.